I'm Sharon Dhaliwal, Editor-in-Chief of Burnt Woody Magazine. I manage, run all the content and all the creative behind Burnt Woody. I went to a bunch of shops and I'd pick up magazines and I would never see any kind of issues that affected me in those magazines or anyone that looked like me in those magazines. And I thought back to all the people that I know that are working in publishing at the moment, that are releasing amazing books, and I didn't see their names in any of the magazines, and I got quite disappointed about it. So I thought, well, if I created this platform, it'd help those people have their voices amplified, to give South Asians a platform to talk about issues that they usually wouldn't be able to talk about in any other kind of platforms. I kind of wanted to give that community that space to talk about anything that they wanted to talk about without having any kind of concerns about being judged by the person that was going to publish or read it. I started talking to one of my friends who's a journalist who was writing an article for Cosmopolitan about ethnic cleansing through plastic surgery. And so I had a nose job about 10 years ago, I think. I can't remember. I never really spoke about it. I never really talked about having plastic surgery. And then my friend who knew about it approached me and opened up that door to it. So my nose was quite a large hooked nose, and it ran through my family, and it ran through a lot of Punjabis that I knew as well. And so we were discussing whether I removed part of my ethnicity by getting plastic surgery. And then I started talking to my parents about it, and then my mum told me that she also got a nose job. And then I started discussing it with her, and then it opened more doors and more discussions. I then started writing articles about body hair. So I wrote one about being a hairy Indian, and it was a three-parter. And what ended up happening is loads of people suddenly contacted me and said, wow, thank you for writing that. Like, there's nowhere else we can go to read something like that. That I published it in my personal blog. But they found it, and they were like, oh, that's amazing. I'm so glad you wrote that, because we feel the same way. We have the same experiences. And I started getting private messages, emails, DMs from people telling me their stories. And I was like, this is great that I'm hearing these stories, but I kind of want somewhere for them to tell these stories as well. So that kind of helped start that kind of conversation with myself, where I was like, maybe start a magazine, Sharon. But like, I also was just at that point talking so much about my culture. Like, prior to that, I spent a lot of time kind of, in a sense, whitewashing myself, where I didn't really embrace my culture that much. And I did it to fit in. I grew up in Southall and Hounslow, like the most brown places in London. Like, little India is Southall. I grew up there, yet I would hang out with the white people, you know. I would not celebrate Vaisakhi with my family or Diwali or anything like that. And then it got to a stage where I started to hit my 30s, and I started to have conversations with people about my nose job, about body hair, and then loads of people reached out to me, and then I realized that this is a conversation that people wanted and needed to have, and I needed to stop keeping it internalized. I needed to open it up, and that helped navigate that kind of path into Burnt Woody. Burnt Woody was kind of created by me in my bedroom, kind of just saying over and over again, I don't know what I'm doing, like over and over again. I didn't really notice that many independent magazines around at first, because I'd just thrown myself into that world of publishing, and I've never dealt with the world of publishing before. So I kind of threw myself in there and kind of just went, oh, what do I do? So I had to research loads. But when I say research loads, actually what ended up happening is I just typed in independent magazines, women of colour, and suddenly loads of magazines popped up. Gal Dem popped up, Kajal magazine popped up, Brown Girl magazine popped up. And then as I started opening the doors for Burnt Woody, I started noticing more, and suddenly there were just hundreds of all these independent publishing magazines run by women of colour, and also just people of colour. It was really interesting because they all have different areas that they're navigating towards. They have different stories that they're telling. So, like, for example, Azima magazine is North African and Middle Eastern, and they're telling those stories. Mine is South Asian. Gal Dem is just women of colour as a whole. And it was interesting for me to go into that world of publishing and seeing those kind of avenues that all these different magazines are going down, because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I kind of walked in and just was like, I want a magazine because I think it's kind of a bit cool, and I want to be that editor-in-chief kind of woman that's just like walking around like with too many pieces of papers and too much coffee and people chasing her. Like, you know, I thought that was a good look. And then I realized that, you know, publishing is a lot more. There's a lot more to it, and you need to find your niche. You need to, like, you know, go down that route when you do find it. And so my niche was South Asian people, and now it's become predominantly South Asian women. The best thing about finding that niche and finding the audience for that niche is people are just so happy and so welcoming that they haven't had it before. I want it to be more of a movement. So I'm putting on loads of events at the moment, and I've got we did the Beauty of Being British Asian exhibition last year in August, and that was an amazing event, but it doesn't happen enough. And so at that event, for example, people were saying to me, like, you know, we're happy to queue for 2 hours. We have nowhere else to go to find something like this. And I want to help them with that movement, not just with a magazine where they can just publish articles. I want them to go to spaces where they can talk to other people and say, yeah, I get that. You know, when we did the exhibition, for example, there was this one piece about a guy opening a fridge and opening a tub of what he thought was ice cream, but inside was frozen dal. And the amount of people that walked up to that piece and were just like, my God, like, That was my childhood. Every time I wanted ice cream, all I got was frozen dal. And it was that they just felt this kind of unity in that exhibition, which I found really interesting. And I wanted to create that space for them to have that movement and how they can share these experiences together. Suddenly they find something that just every page speaks to them about a certain part of their life in some way or another. And it's that connection that you have with media all of a sudden, because, like, you know, our connection with media for South Asians was Goodness Gracious Me. And that was a short time of our lives and that went. And then we had Bendita like Beckham. And then, you know, we have these little spikes of things that come and go, but there's no real connection we have with the media. And so when you find something that's published, whether it's online, whether it's on print, whether it's an event, like anything, you have that immediate emotional connection there, and you need that to, you know, navigate this world. You know, as someone with a dual identity, you need something to, like, help confirm you as a person. And so I think when people find these kind of, like, publishers that are creating these avenues for people, creating these kind of, like, paths for people to walk down, saying it's okay to walk down this path as the person you are, there's a lot of gratitude there. And I think that pushes a lot of the publishers forward to carry on doing what they're doing as well. So Burnt Woody does their print issue once a year. It's an annual issue. And that's mostly because Burnt Woody is, at the moment, mostly me full-time. I've got Rita Loy, who's the publishing director, who's part-time at the moment, but I'm making her come full-time soon. and then, like, you know, so I do all the social media, I do all the content online, I do all the management. So being able to then do a print issue is kind of, well, impossible. You know, I need to sleep at some point. So it just made sense to do it annual. And also it kind of just, it sums up, I feel like it sums up from the last issue. When you pick up the last issue and then you read the next one, it's kind of just like, yeah, that's what happened last year. Now this year, this is how we're all feeling. And it kind of just, like, brings everything together. And I quite like that feeling of it. It's like when you're on the internet, you're suddenly lost on link. Like, you suddenly don't know what website you're on. You don't know what you're reading. You're going down a rabbit hole of all these articles. When you have something and you know it and you own it, you kind of have more of a connection there. And I think things get lost on the ether of the internet a lot as well now. So if you do have publishers out there that are doing online websites, a lot of them don't get the traction that they should be getting. And it's because there's so much out there. But if you give someone tangible to hold and read, then there's nowhere else for them to look. I think it was issue one when I went to Mumbai for 4 days. That's the shortest time I've ever been to India. Like, even customs were just like, what are you doing? You're doing 4 days. You're Indian. Don't do 4 days. You do two weeks, right? And I was like, no, 4 days. And it was to do a photo shoot and interview with actress Priyanka Bose. And I had looked up to her for a very long time as an actress and an activist and just everything she did and what she stood for. She was so important to me. And every time I used to see her in a film, I was just like, not only are you beautiful, you're just important to me suddenly. Like, you know, the characters you play, like, people don't play these characters. Like, you're so cool, basically. I was just, had a bit of a girl crush. And I managed to get an interview with her, and I don't think it connected until my plane landed in Mumbai, and I was just like, I'm in Mumbai right now, and I'm going to interview Priyanka Bose. And it was when I was in Capital Cinema, this cinema that was closed down that we had as a venue, and I was sitting there, and I looked over to my left, and Priyanka Bose was getting her makeup done, and I looked over to my right, and there was a cameraman that's just setting up the camera, and I was just like, Jesus, Sharon, what, you were just in London in your bedroom just putting together a magazine, and what is this? This is amazing. And I just remember just sitting there going, you're doing something here, Sharon. You're doing something, and it's really important, and it's really big, and you've flown all the way to Mumbai for this feature with Priyanka Bose for your next issue. Like, that's a big thing to do. And I just, melting in the heat with no fans around me as well, just melting in the heat and just having this little mini celebration inside my own head, like without showing it emotionally in my face, just having this like in my head, that was like party pop is going off, just going, Sharon, you've done it. You've actually done it. You've done a big thing. And I think after that, and then when I came back and I started piecing it together, that whole thing was just so important to me. It just meant so much. It was like, this isn't just something you're just doing on your own, Sharon. You're doing this for people. There's other people out there that love Priyanka Bose as much as you, and they want this interview with her. And it just, yeah, I remember that moment still so vividly. I remember all the feelings and the smells. When you start something, it's best to have a fully laid plan in place with other people, have a team together. Because when it's just you, especially, it's just your mind, it's just your thoughts, and they aren't reflective of everyone at all. We all want to work together, we want to collaborate together to build this movement, to have these voices heard. If we're doing it in our little rooms alone, then we're not going to get anywhere.